So the Lord will speak to you this morning from Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 16 is our theme verse. We'll be focusing on that. We will consider the context a little bit, verses 10 through 20. Familiar scriptures about putting on the whole armor of God, but we'll see that Paul emphasizes more than anything else you put on, more than any of the armor, hold up the shield of faith. Verse 16. Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, hear now the word of the Lord, focusing on verse 16, holding up the shield of faith. Beginning with verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open up my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And again, we focus with this idea of the whole armor of God that we should dress in daily to be able to defend ourselves against the devil who is attacking us. We focus particularly about what we should be paying attention to above all. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, this sermon is a long time in coming. If you'll remember, a little earlier this year, we were taking special requests, and our brother, Mr. Sanchez, requested this verse, Ephesians 6, verse 16. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at a scripture he requested in Isaiah. And as I like to ask, I want to ask if the person requests is willing to share, why are you requesting this? I think that can be helpful for us as we approach the text. And so he shared with me in an email to that question the following words. Why Ephesians 6, 16? He says, the shield of faith has stood out to me for quite some time. In times that I have put the shield down, I have been overcome and pierced by many sorrows and sinful doubts that I felt greatly alienated me from God, leading to even more sin. This has taught me firsthand how crucial it is to believe over and against everything else around me or inside me. When I have failed to believe the gospel and look to the Lord alone, I've felt as if all is lost and like I had no reason to go on. I would have perished if I had not believed, as the psalmist says, and he's referring to Psalm 27, verse 13, I would have perished if I had not believed. You see, belief is vital for survival. Faith is the Christian's most important defense against the attack of the devil. We need to recognize, as we'll be reviewing today, we are under attack. We are under constant attack by the devil himself, and though he's bound by a chain, he's still pretty powerful. And he has been doing this a long time, as Thomas Watson points out. He is much more experienced in coming after you than you are in defending yourself. So it's important you put on the whole armor of God. But most importantly, above all, Paul says, faith, the shield of faith. Faith is the Christian's most important defense against the attacks of the devil. About a couple months ago, I had to do one of the scariest things in my life. And I preached just before that a sermon on Psalm 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." You see, remember what we saw there. Fear is our downfall, so we change our fear into faith in the Lord. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Because it took faith, constant faith, for me to step out and trust God with the results. And see, that's the thing. We don't know what the results are. That's in God's hand. We just have to trust Him that He knows what He's doing with us. And we have to step out in faith rather than be paralyzed in fear. And the devil hit me hard, and he hit me often with fiery darts of doubt and despair that nearly did paralyze me. But faith came to my rescue and delivered me to stand and solve my situation, and he did. But if I had listened to fear, it wouldn't have happened. Stepping out in faith by his word and spirit, he solved the situation, and so he does and will for you. You have to use the whole armor of God. Indeed, it's important to be able to do that. Remember, you're going against the devil and evil, wicked principalities that are very powerful. You need the armor of God, all of it. Put it all on, he emphasizes twice. But what is most crucial in every step of your spiritual battle is belief. Because if you don't believe, you won't even bother putting on the armor. If you don't believe, you won't even bother to go out into battle. And you'll accomplish very little, and you'll experience little victory. That is, fight the devil with faith. He's coming at you, constantly shooting his arrows at you. What are you going to do about it, Christian? How are you going to fight? Primarily with faith. All the other armor will do you very little good if you are not holding up the shield of faith. The message for you this morning is fight the devil with faith. First of all, recognize the devil is constantly seeking to destroy your life. He can't have your life, but he wants to destroy it as much as he can along the way. The devil is constantly seeking to destroy your life. We don't talk about the devil very much anymore. He loves that because you won't defend yourself against him. But what do we see in the text? He is shooting many arrows at you. Now, just stop and think about that. If you were walking outside today and a man or a couple of people showed up with bows aimed at you with many arrows in their quiver, you'd be scared because you know you'd be in great danger. Well, Paul tells us the devil is shooting arrows at you constantly. Let's think about the effect of that and how we should take it seriously. William Gurnall shares in his book, The Complete Armor of God, and I only read the section on the Shield of Faith, which is like about almost 150 pages, so bear with me as I'll quote from him a lot. And I had 7 pages of quotes I typed up, and I haven't used hardly any of them, so be merciful to me. But I think there's a lot to share with you, and I encourage you to take out the book. It's very wonderful to read and beautiful to read. So forgive me also that I can't share all of it with you, but he talks about this idea. Think of the imagery of these arrows of Satan and how dangerous it is. I'm paraphrasing at the moment. You see, when arrows are shot, you don't often see them coming. I mean, it's not usually close range. It's at a distance. But that arrow is shot from a distance, and you don't see it until, boom, it hits, right? And when an arrow hits, another's already on its way, while another one is already being pulled back and almost let to fly against you. I mean, just think of those movies, all these tons of arrows being... I mean, that's what's happening in the Christian life. Satan is constantly shooting things at you. You know, we often say at certain periods of our life, boy, we are really under attack. Satan is really attacking us. We need to recognize he's always attacking us. Yes, there are particular times where it's particularly brutal, but he's always shooting arrows and you don't see them coming. A lot of times you don't see them coming because he sends them through those who are closest to you as well. You know, so often you just, oh, I did not see that coming. And I let the temptation take me down. And I didn't respond the way I should have. You got to learn to keep that shield of faith up and anticipate that you are constantly being shot at. It's one of our problems. We don't. He's constantly shooting his arrows. And they are silent until they hit. You see how dangerous? If you're not keeping your shield up. And they hit hard with great force. Think about that arrow. And these arrows are lit on fire. So after they hit, they're ready to burn you, infect you. If you're not ready, Satan's arrows that are coming at you constantly will penetrate and burn under your skin. You have an adversary. You have an accuser. The devil, who's always battling against you. Look at verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is real, and he is really after you all the time. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Stop, beloved, and think about this. We're not talking about men. Much more powerful forces are against you than that. The devil and strong spiritual powers that can hurt you real bad and can get in you in ways that other people can't. Other forces can't. Affect your whole life in ways that others can't. Verse 13, we're warned about it's an evil day. The days are evil. Redeem the time, Paul says elsewhere. It's an evil day. And evil, mighty, powerful forces are against you constantly. And they can hurt you bad. They can't take your life, but they can take you down low in your life. And that's what they want. Verse 16, our text, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked is singular. I think we can understand it as the wicked one, Satan, but certainly has all these powers working with him. Notice all the fiery darts or arrows. There's a lot of them being shot and flying at you constantly. One of the reasons you and I get hit and fall down and have so many problems is we just don't take that very seriously. We don't take seriously. We are in spiritual battle, and he is constantly going after us. Oh, he's happy to let us think it has nothing to do with him. He's a serpent. He's a liar. He's deceitful, masquerading as an angel of light. But he never stops seeking to cause you suffering and to slow you down serving Jesus Christ. That's his main goal, to just slow you down from any meaningful service. And once his arrow is hit, though they are blocked, they begin to burn if they're not put out. What are we wanting to recognize first here? Well, Matthew Henry points out this text encourages our Christian warfare. We're not encouraged to be at war. We're encouraged to be sloppy and lazy and entertained. We're not encouraged to take seriously that we are in a big fight, a cosmic battle. We should be getting ready to go to war every day. And the reason our weeks go so poorly and we stumble into the Sabbath every week is because we are not preparing ourselves to fight. We're not taking seriously what we are having against us. William Hendrickson points out, to understand Paul and understand his context he's speaking about, we must understand that the church and Satan are on a collision course. Christ is taking over this world, and indeed the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but they are going to try until the end. Just like Hitler kept fighting even after the war had been decided. And they can do damage, and much collateral damage. Genesis 3:15, the gospel, the proto-evangelium. Jesus will step on the head of serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. Revelation 12, Satan is there. He can't win the battle. He's cast down from heaven, but he's still there trying to devour the woman and her seed. He's still trying to do whatever he can to damage the church. This is the reality that is excelling now in these last days until Christ's return. And the devil wants to destroy your faith most of all, because that leaves you practically defenseless. And so Jesus says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Romans 11, verse 20, because of unbelief they were broken. And thou standest by faith. You see the contrast. That's what we'll be looking at more later. It's by faith we stand. It's by unbelief we are broken and fall. Exactly what the devil wants. William Gurnall, shares that what are these arrows? They are temptations. What are these darts? They are temptations. And they're very effective. He writes this, darts have a wounding, killing nature, especially shot out of a strong bow. Satan's temptations are drawn by a strength no less than angelical. Stop and think about that again. He is a fallen angel, but nonetheless, he's an angel and he's been at this for a long time. And he still, though he's bound by a chain, has a lot of power. And if he can't go anywhere, he can still shoot his arrows. He's got a lot of power behind it. We are all tempted to sin, and Satan sends sparks to ignite it. That arrow, oh, maybe it didn't cut through, but there's a flame now. Gurnall writes, if they can't set the soul on flame of sin, yet of terror and horror. That's what he wants to do to our lives. If he can't get us to sin, he wants to make us have horror and terror in our lives. He wants us to be afraid and scared, because fear is the opposite of faith. And fear leads the opposite direction of faith, away from God instead of to him. And God is the one that gives us the victory. Satan wants to render what he has had taken away from him by Christ useless to you. That's what Gurnall points out again. If somebody loses a battle, if they've lost the war, they don't just happily hand it all over. They set it all on fire. Well, if I can't have it, I don't want you to enjoy it. And that's what Satan is doing. He's trying to set everything ablaze around you, trying to destroy you who are the temple of God. If he can't have you anymore, if he can't run your lives, he's like to ruin them as much as possible. See all your hopes and plans go up in smoke by lack of faith. Christian, your life is constant spiritual warfare. Verse 12. So be spiritually prepared. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. William Hendrickson says you should ask yourself these questions, thinking of the text. So I ask them of you. Ask yourself this, right now before the Lord, the King of glory. Do I really want to fight? Am I living life enabling me to engage in conflict? Am I prepared to fight? Am I able to defend myself against Satan's attack? God says you should be. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. He's coming for you constantly, and the way you resist him is faith. So see that God is calling you to be battle ready. You have an enemy because you have Christ, and he hates Christ. This was his kingdom, this world, and Christ is taking it over, and he hates it. You were his, and Christ is taking you over, and he hates you. If he can't run your life, he'll ruin it if you let him. God's calling you to recognize this, that you have spiritual warfare before you, so be battle ready and endure the war because you can. You can. This is where Satan says, tune off now, please. No, you can't. You can. How? By faith. To stand against the devil's attacks, you must constantly believe God to deliver you. And the truth is, you and I often don't. Not really. That's why we lose so much. The devil is constantly seeking to destroy your life. And to stand against the devil's attacks, you must constantly believe God to deliver you. What is a shield for, after all? What is all the armor that we hear about in this text, after all? What's it for? It's not to lose, folks. It's to do battle. It's to have victory. It's to survive the attacks of the enemy. You are more than conquerors, the Bible says. You can withstand Satan. And if you say you can't, you are calling God a liar. This is a call to arms, brethren. Get ready for war by bearing God's holy armor. Verses 11 and 13 twice. Put on the whole armor of God. Get ready to do battle. He has saved you from hell. He's delivered you from the devil. And he empowers you to win. He didn't save you to be suckers. He saved you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in power and in glory. Namely, he calls you to withstand and be left standing. Notice this. He doesn't say, turn your tail and run. He doesn't say, cower, stick your head in the dirt. He says, stand, hold fast, put on the armor to stand. It's emphasized by repetition, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the will, the wiles of the devil. Verses 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at this call to stand. We are not told by God to run from the devil. We are told to stand against him and take him down, not by our power, but by the holy armor of God, because Christ has already done so, stepped on his head and bound him with a chain. Satan wants to trick you with the temptations that you have no power, that you have no ability to do anything. But this scripture is saying you are able, more than able. This isn't about surviving eternal death. This is given to those who have eternal life and should be living it. Verse 16, again, our text this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice this. Being able. We see that also in verse 11 and verse 13. Be able, that you're able to do this. You have power. You are able to fight this fight. Being able. And to do what? To quench. That's a way of standing. Quench, to put out, to block, and then to quench the effects of the darts, the arrows that Satan would send at you. You can do so. This is an empowering message for those who would take up arms. Just as we saw in the book of Numbers, they rallied by troops with their banners saying, we're ready to go to war following our King Jesus. This is not a message from God of give up and run. It's a message of onward Christian soldiers marching on to war. Notice, you are called to withstand, to stand up by faith. Faith is trust. Faith is belief. And when Adam and Eve wouldn't believe God, oh, did Satan have a victory that day? Above all, he says, lift up the shield of faith. Faith is the most important armor of all. Think about it. You put that helmet of salvation on, but do you want to take a blow to the head by an arrow with it? I don't think so. That breastplate of righteousness, you want to just stand there and take an arrow? I don't think so. Your feet, you want to take that with boots strong and enabled? I don't think you want to take an arrow there, especially to the Achilles heel. You need your shield to block it all. All those things are helpful and important, especially hand-to-hand combat. But even hand-to-hand combat, close combat, that shield is enormously important. But when arrows are being shot at from you afar, the only thing you got to really save your life is the shield. And I'm sure you've seen many times in movies, the Romans or the Vikings, they had these amazing shields. But when were they most safe in the use of them? When they gathered together as you are here today, which is an act of faith. And bring your shields together as a wall in front of you and a ceiling above you. So nothing's hitting because you're together. You've got your shields together as a great protective wall. Don't forget how much you need one another to link arms together with your shields of faith, lifting each other up, building each other up in the faith with a greater armor and protection. The shield is more important than everything else, and without the shield of faith, nothing else is really all that safe, is it? A shield can take an arrow, a fiery arrow. A shield can take the impact of something like that, the sharpness of something like that, the directness of something like that. Shield is bigger, covers a lot more area, and it can be moved. You can lift it up high, you can bring it low, you can maneuver with it, right? Everything else is kind of stationary in a sense, but that shield, you can adjust and be ready. You can anticipate, oh, coming from this side now, block. You can use that shield to block tremendous things coming at you from the enemy. Holding up your hope in God, ultimately, who is your shield. And that's why faith is the biggest, most important thing. Because God is our shield. Genesis 14. Psalms, such as 144 that you sang. He makes our hands to war, makes our fingers to fight. He is our shield, as well as our tower. We lift up him. We trust in him. We remember what he says. We wait on Christ to be our mediator. Our adversary against the accuser. Gernall says this, the shield is a piece that is intended for the defense of the whole body. It defends the whole man. Faith receives the shock and saves the creature harmless. Faith protects and invigorates the work of all the other graces. Acts 15, verse 9, faith purifies hearts. Galatians 5, verse 6, faith works through love. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, believing, which is faith, believing causes rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, belief causes the word to be effective. 1 Peter 1, verse 5, God's power keeps you safe through faith. James 1, verse 6, we are to ask in faith. Hebrews 4, verse 3, faith brings eternal rest. Romans 5, verse 1, we are justified by faith. And we are sanctified by faith because it stands upon the promises of God. It clothes itself in the promises of God. It remembers what God has said and trusts that to be true. Every man a liar. Faith bases your reality on God's word, not on Satan's lies and nor your sins or your own puny strength. Faith trusts in God. It puts on God's armor and expects to win. I mean, think about how pathetic it would be for a soldier to put on all this armor and then say, no, we want our soldiers to go out there and say, all right, I'm ready, let's do this. Faith trusts not in yourself, but in God's power to protect you, provide for you, and to prosper you. God does not call you to retreat. He calls you to resist. James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan needs to be the one doing the running. You do that by faith, Hebrews 11. All these saints who, yes, went through many difficulties and often great suffering, how did they persevere and make it through as they're waiting for heaven? Faith. It's by faith they were able to suffer through and succeed and serve the Lord. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. God has given you victory, and he calls upon you to trust him in battle. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Jesus calls you not to be doubting, but believing. Doubt is of the devil. Belief is of Christ. Christ calls you of little faith not to fear, but be believing and be courageous. Pray for God to help your unbelief and increase your faith, as did the disciples, because you're going to need it. You can't do it without it. If not, the devil will do major damage to you, and he will delay your abundant life blessings that Christ offers you to enjoy in this life. William Gurnall again says that these arrows from Satan, these darts, are temptations. And he says there's three main arrows that the devil sends at you, shoots at you to take you down if he can't take you out. First arrow to watch out for is atheism. You just stop believing God. And effectively, you don't believe in him. The second arrow is blasphemy. Well, you know he really does exist, so you murmur against him and you complain against him. And no matter what's going on, you can't see anything but bad in it. You don't believe anything good's coming of it. You don't trust his providence or sovereignty, and you blaspheme what he's doing. But third, and the worst of all, and where the devil is ultimately leading to, is the arrow of despair. The worst, most dangerous arrow. He writes this, and bear with me, I'm going to share with you a number of quotes that are working together to demonstrate this danger of despair and how faith is the only thing to save you from it. This sin, that is despair, casteth the greatest scorn upon God and brings the creature nearer the complexion of devils and damned souls. Think about that before it continues. He's going to talk like this a lot. The greater you have despair, the more you look like a devil. The greater you have despair and depression, the more you act like a demon. They are not happy they've been cast out of hell. They are not happy that they don't have control. He goes on, this is the sin Satan chiefly aims at. Other sins are but as previous dispositions to introduce that and make the creature more receptive for such a temptation. All the other sins in your life, all the temptations he gets you to succumb to, as evil as they might be, they are all intended to get you to do the worst of all, to succumb to the worst temptation of all, to let your shield of faith down, to get, boom, despair. Beloved, think about the Pilgrim's Progress. If you get caught in the slough of despair, you are in danger of not finishing the faith walk and warfare well. Faith will get you out of it. Faith will get you up on your feet again. Gurnall writes, faith gives the soul a view of the great God. It teaches the soul to set his almightiness against sin's magnitude and his infinitude against sin's multitude. We must give him the infinitude of all his attributes, not only wise, but infinitely wise. Not mighty, but almighty. Despair, he continues, despair robs God of his infinitude and ascribes it to sin. The despairing soul sees a multitude of great sins to damn, but not an infinitude of mercy in the great God to save him. Faith can tell the soul that the holiness of God is no enemy to pardoning mercy. For it is the holiness of God that obligeth him to be faithful in all his promises. Sure, saith faith, my Savior is infinitely greater than my greatest sins. Only faith will say this to you. And oh, how you need it. Oh, beloved, let God shield you against depression. Psalms 42 and 43 that we had last week and this week for our Psalms of the Week for calls to worship. Three times in those short Psalms together emphasizes essentially these words. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. Gurnall continues, O tremble, therefore, at despair, this worst weapon, this mighty arrow that can really hurt you bad. Tremble at despair. Nothing makes thy face gather blackness and thy soul hasten faster to the complexion of damned souls than this. Now thou sinnest after the similitude of those that are in hell. Think about that. Where is despair the greatest? In hell, where souls are damned and truly have a reason to despair. The more that you grovel in despair, the more you're acting like damned souls in hell. If he can't get you there truly, he wants you to live if you're there here. Not walk by faith, but by sight. He continues, despair strengthens and enrageth all other sins in the soul. The devil is too cunning a fowler to lay his net in the bird's sight. Despair is the net. Other sins are but the bait, whereby he flatters them in. This is above all sins, puts a man into a kind of actual possession of hell. Beloved, don't let your life be a living hell. You have entered the kingdom of heaven. Live like it. By faith and strong faith. Gurnall writes, weak faith will as surely land the Christian in heaven as strong faith. For it is impossible the least dram of true grace should perish, being all incorruptible seed. But the weak, doubting Christian is not likely to have so pleasant a voyage thither as another with strong faith. Though all in the ship come safe to shore, yet he that is all the way seasick hath not so comfortable a voyage as he that is strong and healthful. Beloved, enjoy the pilgrimage. Christ offers a good life now. It's not the end of it. There's no guarantee there won't be difficulties, but you can learn how to be content in all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Well, praise the Lord that even a little weak faith will get us into heaven. But don't you want to enjoy the ride? Don't you want to enjoy victory along the way in this life, instead of cowering in a corner or sticking your head under the dirt, while life passes you by and you make very little impact for Christ shooting out arrows in return. This isn't to say that faith can't be shaken, but stir it up. Paul Bain, in his commentary, says the devil is focused on ruining our faith. Are you going to let him? He says the best faith tried long will limp a little. So we've taken our lumps and we do limp. But, he continues, the shaking of trees maketh them root deeper. That's what's supposed to happen. God shakes up your faith. You act out in faith in new ways because you have to. And watch those roots go down deeper and go wider and be stronger in the end. This is his intention. If you will believe. If you'll hold up the shield of faith and go to battle. Trust that. He continues, how do you keep the faith? First of all, deny all trust in your own wisdom. To lift up the shield of faith, deny all trust in your own wisdom. Think of Proverbs 3. Number two, strike at unbelief with the sword of the Spirit. Number three, consider the injurious effects of unbelief on God and us. And strengthen faith. How do you strengthen faith? First, look up to Christ when you feel weak. He's the author and finisher of your faith, Hebrews chapter 12. Strengthen your faith by knowing God better. Think of reviewing his names. Believe he is abundantly able. Ephesians 3, earlier in the letter, 20 and 21, he's exceeding abundantly able to do above all that you could ask or think, ye of little faith. Number three, to strengthen your faith, look to the preciousness of faith. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 speaks of the precious faith we have, the like precious faith. He points out we don't part with our treasures. We don't part with our treasures. We hold on to them. The problem is we're saying to the wrong things, oh, my precious. Faith should be precious to us. You don't part with it so easily. You hold it up and trust God. Fourth, strengthening your faith by ferreting out unbelief and rekindle and renew your dying faith to increase it. Further, beloved, trust that the same is for you from Jesus as for Peter when Satan tried to ruin him. And he said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Keep your head up. Remember that even faith, the grain of a mustard seed, is successful in the end. Keep your shield up. Look to Christ and apply him to all of your life. May you live your life in a way that you can end your life as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Beloved, your whole life will be one of spiritual warfare. That's the reality. What will you do with that reality? You keep taking hits that pin you down and burn at you? Or are you going to hold up the shield of faith, hold up your Lord, and fight the good fight? Daily put on the whole armor of God to defend yourself against the principalities of darkness, namely the devil. But above all, beloved, lift up the shield of faith. Fight the devil with faith. Here you go this week. He's sending you out. Those arrows are flying at you already. Are you ready? How will you fight? with faith. Fight the devil with faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us for being doubting Thomases. Let us look to your pierced hands and feet and recognize you are resurrected, and you have saved us from our sins and delivered us from the devil, and you have bound him with a chain. O Lord, we pray, increase our faith. Help thou our unbelief. Let us not be doubting but believing. Let us put on the whole armor of God, but especially, Lord, help us to hold up the shield of faith. Let us anticipate these arrows flying at us, and let us protect ourselves from getting hit and being burned up. Forgive us, Lord, for how often, instead of facing the devil with faith, we run from him in fear, and that only gets us in the backside and trips us down into the darkness. O Lord, lift us up in the light of Christ. Send thy light. Send thy truth. Let us have ears to hear what you have spoken. Let us lift up our banner of our beloved, of love and of faith, through which all the other graces operate and grow. Almighty God, forgive us for being of little faith. Let us hear you, Jesus Christ, our King of glory, as you call us to be believing and not of little faith, not to be fearful, but courageous, not in ourselves or in other things, other people, but in God, our shield and our exceeding great reward. And as this text continues saying to be praying always, which we need faith to do, we close preparing for battle, praying in faith as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.